From Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, first verse. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is well that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 booths here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, lo, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. The word came out from and throughout all of Green Bay, Wisconsin, for the last month. Let us make 3 booths here, one for Vince Lombardi, one for Bart Starr, and one, please, for Brett Favre. And yet they had to come off the mountain. The Brett Favre era is over. And the mountaintop experience of a Super Bowl and untold moments of pleasure and occasional grief. Brett Favre went 5 for 6 last night with a touchdown for the New York Jets. And behold, the one who has been for you as Moses will be replaced by Aaron. And Aaron Rodgers went 5 for 9 and was sacked 4 times last night. You got to come off the mountain, boys and girls. It's a new day and it's time to move forward. I hate it when that happens. I'd much prefer to stay on the mountain. I like Christmas. I like my birthday. I like the birth of children in our family. I like our wedding anniversaries. And yet, the next day comes, and it's time to move on. I find it refreshing that the hero of the New Testament, St. Peter, the rock on which the church is built, gets it wrong far more often than he gets it right. And he gets it way wrong as often as not. And in this instance, again, Lord, it is well that we are here. Let us stay here forever with you and Moses and Elijah. And Jesus says, no, it's time to go to Jerusalem. It's time to get off the mountain and very probably walk through the valley of the shadow. So the question that the story brings to mind is how to more or less ordinary people live more or less ordinary lives during ordinary time when the mountaintop experience is past and it's time to move forward. How do we move forward? What do we do? Well, in one sense, it kind of depends on how you got off the mountain. There are times when we are almost forcibly tossed off of the mountain by circumstances we couldn't see coming, didn't expect, or couldn't prevent. Sudden death of someone we love, a relationship gone suddenly sour through betrayal or who knows what all. My kids and grandkids would never do something like that, and yet they do, and we are ejected from the mountain. Sometimes it doesn't take much. 1/100th of a second meant the difference between gold and silver, again, for Michael Phelps the other night, and, by the way, a $1 million bonus from Speedo. 1/100th of a second. How long is that? That's a shorter period of time than the beating of one wing on a hummingbird. That's all it was. And can you think of the name of the guy that Michael Phelps beat by 1/100th of a second? Anybody know? I had to look it up on the internet. I've seen the story 12 times and watched the replay 12 times. Miloslav Kavic, a name that will move beyond our consciousness and already has in 1/100th of a second. When you're ejected from the mountain, when you're kicked off the peak, what happens next? Well, retrenching, regrouping, retooling, relearning. It's like life's been on cruise control and life's been pretty darn good, and all of a sudden I'm faced with a crossroads again where I might have to learn something new, learn how to live in new ways, I've often been struck by my memory of students that I taught when I was in graduate school. I taught in junior college. And a fair number of students going to night school and going to night school at junior colleges are trying to retool their lives. Retool their lives from things that have happened to them, often terrible things as a result of their own actions. Some wind up going back to school after having cleared and completed parole, after having gone through drug treatment, are on public assistance. And in what often appeared to be a kind of degradation ceremony, students in that situation would have to come up after class and have me sign off on a sheet that they would present either to a public assistance office or a parole officer, saying that they had in fact attended. Interestingly enough, often my best students, trying to retrench and regroup, to relearn and retool after having been kicked off the mountain. We often tell people to avoid major decisions for a year or so after you have been kicked off the mountain, largely to give you a chance to take a breath, retrench, regroup, retool. Sometimes it brings folks to junior college in places they didn't expect they would go next. But once there, they get a foothold to move forward. That happens to all of us on occasion in our lives. But more often, moving forward means simply walking from the good days, the especially celebration times in our lives, whether it be through the birth of a child or even Christmas or another holiday of that sort, going back and living in more or less ordinary time. The trick to doing that in a way that's in keeping with the principles of our faith is to include in every ordinary day a remembering of or even an accounting of what I call the rainbows of each day. It's a powerful symbol, a rainbow is. It's the symbol of hope when the thunderstorm is over. It's the symbol that God left Noah and his family with the promise never to do that again. And there are moments where the brightness of a rainbow is especially apparent. But more often than not, it's a simple little thing. Pretty much every day of my life begins with a cup of hot, fresh coffee. And I take it for granted. And I shouldn't. And today I didn't. And tonight I'll try to remember it. A blessing of a moment of something to enjoy to start the day. The day ends for me typically with the reading of a book or a novel or a meditation book or some such thing. A blessing that, again, I don't think about or count very often, but it's a part of an ordinary day that closes off the day in a positive way. We probably get a dozen emails a day, many of which are forwards that are forwards that are forwards of something, an insight here, an inspirational message there, something patriotic that more often than not, oh, it's just another one of those. But every once in a while, maybe once a day, one of them, whether we want it to or not, catches us for a second and gives us just a moment where we recognize that this day is different than the one previous, and there's been something that I've picked up or learned or a feeling that I have. The seemingly ordinary and mundane occasions that we have to encounter people who care about us, the people we live with, the people we have learned to love, the people who have learned to love us even at unlovable times. Every day has an encounter or a memory of or a looking forward to being with someone who in an ordinary and commonplace way sends us the rather extraordinary and uncommon message that we're loved. Coming off the mountain gives us a chance to look at and pay attention to the ordinary rainbows. Not as tall, not as bright, not as big, but no less a gift of the one who decided we were worth living with and dying for. The one about whom a voice came from the heavens, one of only two times that occurs in the New Testament, The other was at Jesus' baptism, and the message was exactly the same. This is my beloved child with whom I am well pleased. Presumably, Jesus didn't need baptizing. He was the Lord of the church that baptism constitutes through the initiation of new members. And yet he was to make him ever more kin with you and me. And all of us have been baptized into the body of Christ and given at that moment an identity and a place and a purpose like no other. You and I are God's beloved children. The person that stares back at you in the mirror, or perhaps reflected in the eyes of someone who loves you, is God's beloved child. And that suggests to us a way of life that is in keeping with that identity, which never changes. Circumstance cannot change our kinship with God, our belovedness from the God who made us and with whom God is well pleased. I take it to mean that it's a call to live each day, even each ordinary day, in as fully a human way as possible. Fully human. That's not a phrase we hear as often as we hear only human, as in, I'm only human, as a response to having goofed something else up. And the assumption behind, I think, I'm only human, is that human beings are sort of one click on the dial above the pigs, which is not the message of the New Testament. The message from the New Testament is, you are God's beloved child, which makes you not one click above the pigs, but one click below the angels. And that's a big difference. To be fully human is to be compassionate, honest, and brave. And if that sounds like the skeleton of a three-point sermon, it is. It's the skeleton of next week's three-point sermon. To be fully human, to be compassionate, honest, and brave is what God gives us the energy to be by claiming us as his own, blessing us with each day, even each ordinary day, with rainbows worthy of our accounting. And when we get whacked off the mountain, giving us the opportunity to reflect, regroup, retool, and always count on the never-failing presence of God and God's people, who with us strive to be fully human. To be continued. Amen. And may the peace of God, which goes beyond what we can comprehend or understand, inspire us to cherish each moment, to cherish each person, and to live through ordinary days with extraordinary blessings. Amen.